First Corinthians chapter 16. I know that a lot of people don't like to be told what to do. But we're not like that. The reason we're not like that is because we're God's children. We're citizens of His kingdom. He's our Heavenly Father. We belong to Him. He bought us with the price of Calvary. And He has the right to give us instructions on how to live. And every morning we should report to Him for orders of the day. He wants us to live obedient lives. And the reason He wants that is so that He can bless us. And He cannot bless disobedience. He has our good, our welfare in mind when He asks us to do something. And He's given us a book that serves as our daily guide. Have you ever noticed the children of this world, they seem more interested in temporary fun and entertainment than they do the lasting joy and happiness that serving the Lord brings. And I'm going to show you tonight five things out of two little obscure, often overlooked verses of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 16 that we ought to do all the time, every day. These, I say they're obscure because they're lying there in the shadow of that great 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. That great resurrection, second coming chapter. Usually we stop before we get to the 16th chapter. But look at these words, if you will. Verse 13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Five things there in these two little verses. He starts off with, watch ye. A lot of people have their eyes open. They're obviously awake and looking around. But that's all they're doing. They're just looking. They're not watching. They're seeing, but they're not observing. And as a result, danger can sneak right up on them. And they don't even know it. They should have seen it coming. But they weren't alert. They were not watching. But what should we be watching for, Paul? You just said, watch ye. What are we watching for? Let's go back into the Scriptures a little bit here and find out some things that we should watch for. in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, continue in prayer and watch in the same being prayer, with thanksgiving. Watch in prayer. This may not have too much to do with it, but it's an illustration that I heard an old evangelist from Colorado by the name of Harvey Springer use many, many years ago. He was an old Wyoming cowboy that got saved, and God called him into the ministry, and he wasn't afraid of anybody or anything, and he would wrestle a grizzly bear. And he would preach and tell it like it was. And one time I heard him talk about when he was cornered by some big roughneck guys that didn't like what he preached. And they cornered him. And Harvey says, I'm going to pray for you. And he said, I don't know how many of you, do you close your eyes when you pray? Usually we do, don't we? Well, yeah. Don't, while you're driving down the freeway, don't pray with your eyes closed. Well, Harvey would tell you that too, because he said that he used to close his eyes when he prayed. And here he is, surrounded by all of these guys that wanted a piece of Harvey Springer, and he bowed his head like that and closed his eyes and started to pray, and all of a sudden he got cold cocked and wound up out here on the ground. The old boy just knocked him out. So he said after that, he followed the admonition of the Lord. When he prayed, he watched. Now, I don't know if that's exactly what the Apostle Paul had in mind here when he said, watch in prayer. But nevertheless, we should watch. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. God's people are called to watch. Now this watching that he's talking about here has to do with protecting ourselves, protecting our integrity, protecting our morality, protecting our testimony. You see, many people fall into the pit even when they see the danger approaching because they are not paying sufficient attention to the magnitude of the temptation. Watch. Watch where you're walking. Watch what you say so you don't have to eat your words. Watch what you do. Be aware of and consider the circumstances. Paul warned the Ephesian elders. He said, I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And that's because they didn't watch and heed the warning that Jesus gave when he said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He said, watch, because these wolves are subtle, and they're sneaky, and they lie in wait for their prey. False doctrine creeps in, usually under sheep's clothing. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, watch thou in all things. Watch. Remember in the Old Testament, God told Ezekiel, in chapter 3 and also in chapter 33. He said, Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman over the house of Israel. And he said, when you see the enemy coming, you're duty bound to give warning to the people. What kind of watchman would you be if you were standing on the wall and you see the enemy approaching and you don't make the people aware of the fact that they're under attack? So we're to watch, not only for our well-being, but for the well-being of others. As we look about us today, we see the signs of the times. It alerts us to the nearness of Christ's return, and we should tell people about it and warn them that Jesus is coming, that the rapture is going to take place without warning, because it's going to be at a time when you think not. The Lord's going to come, the first resurrection, the tribulation period, when we know these things that are coming to pass. How can we be silent and not tell people and warn them of the danger that lies ahead in rejecting Christ? Watch. The number two, he says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. We're reminded of Ephesians chapter 6 when Paul talks about putting on the armor of God. He says, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. And then we put on the armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we stand in the faith. Paul encouraged the Corinthian church to keep the faith because the enemies would attack. These critics would assail, that they must be recognized and known and remembered because of their faith, what we believe, because we stand on the solid rock of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did a little study on this word stand. Let me give you a Greek lesson, can I? All right. The Greek word for stand is steko, S-T-E-K-O. Steko. It means stick like glue. It means adhere to. Stick like glue to the faith. Like on a hot summer's day when you go down to the shopping center, you shop around a little while and then you come back out with your arms full and you walk across the parking lot to your car, and just about the time that you get to your car and you're about to open the door and put your purchases inside, you step in a big old glob of chewing gum that somebody has spit out on the hot pavement. And you lift your foot up and you know what I'm talking about. Now it's stuck on the bottom of your shoe, and when you get in the car, it's going to come off on the gas pedal, and then when you hit your brakes, it's going to come off, and you're going to get chewing gum on your brake pedal, and you're just going to make a big old mess. So when you see the Bible says stand fast, think about stepping in that chewing gum. We're to stand fast under pressure. We're to stand fast when the chips are down. Jude even tells us, he said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We stand fast in the faith. Don't be like a weed that's blown in the wind. Be like the oak tree and stand fast. And now the third thing that he says is, oh, this is an easy one. It says quit. That means stop. Okay, I'm going to stop. Quit you like men. Like men. Quit you. The men quit. Quit you like men. Men quit, so quit. But you know, back in 1611, those people that translated our King James Bible, they used a lot of different words from what we use today. Now, when we say quit, it's like the kids are fighting in the back seat of the car, and you turn around and say, knock it off! Quit! And, of course, they don't pay you any mind because they know that you've got two wheels. You've got the steering wheel in both hands, and you can't do anything about it. Quit here does not mean stop. It's talking about conducting yourself like an adult. It means grow up. Mature. It's been said that when a boy becomes a man, he stops walking through the puddles and walks around them. You know what I'm talking about? You still got enough of that kid memory in your mind there. You can remember how tempting it was to see a puddle of water out there and see if you could walk in it far enough not to let it get over the top of your shoe and get your socks all wet, huh? Quit you like men. Children play games. Children are afraid of the dark. Children have short attention spans. They don't see the larger picture. But then that's just the way kids are. Paul's saying, grow up. Act like a man. Become spiritually mature. A good illustration of this is back in 1 Samuel chapter 17. A little shepherd boy by the name of David went down to where Saul's army was fighting the Philistines. He had a couple of brothers that were in the army there, and he went down to see them. And while he was visiting with them, all of a sudden everybody started running, hiding, cowering behind the rocks and the trees. And there was that old giant Goliath walking out into the valley, roaring out his challenge, choose your man. Let him come down to me. He was daring them to fight. This was to be a one-on-one battle. Winner take all. And there wasn't a single Israelite that would accept the challenge. Now, David may not have looked like what they thought a man, particularly a soldier, would look like. But David had a faith that equipped him for the challenge. And David went out and took Goliath on, and he won. Quit you like men. That took courage. In Ephesians 4, Paul's talking about the church. He said, and he, Jesus, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's their job. How long? He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That word perfect there means whole and complete, mature man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed about to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's he saying? He says, God has given us these men, the evangelists, ministers, pastors, and all, to build us up and to cause us to grow into spiritual maturity. And then number four, he says, be strong. Be strong. I looked that up. 9 times in the Old Testament is an admonition that says, be strong and of a good courage. It seems that strong and courage kind of goes together. Because some may be strong, but if they don't have the courage to use that strength, it's not going to do them any good. Be strong and of good courage. Strength without courage won't do you much good. The person who has convictions that doesn't have the courage to stand up for the faith really doesn't have much of a testimony. Strong and of good courage. Now, that reminds us, of course, of what God told Joshua. Way back in the first chapter of Joshua, he said to Joshua, as Joshua was thrust into the position of leadership of the nation of Israel, whom God had delivered out of Egypt, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. And you'll remember that at that time the Jordan River was flooded. All the river bottom was covered with water. Go over this Jordan, God says. And he told him, he said, Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? And he went a little bit further. He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's never going to leave him, never going to forsake him. That sounds familiar. Hasn't he made that same promise to us? I think he has. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Then the fifth one is verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. The word charity is that agape word for love. It goes along with being strong. I want you to notice that this is personal. Your things. Let all your things. And it's all your things. Not just part of them. Not just some of them. But it's all your things. Be done with charity. Back in chapter 13. We have a detailed description of what operating in love is meant to accomplish. And in verses 4 through 8 of that 13th chapter, Paul lists no less than 15 ways in which love plays itself out. And he says, all things. Now that means everything, doesn't it? Christians can be known by their doctrine. And our doctrine is our faith. It's what we believe. But most importantly, a Christian is known by his love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You take into consideration, and many in this congregation have been in the service one time or another, and we've got a lot of men and women today under arms in the service. If you were to ask them why they're serving in our Army, Navy, Marine Corps, whatever, they might give you a half a dozen different answers. But basically, there is one driving motive, and that's love for this country and what it stands for, and its principles. Some of us were in World War II. I was 18 years old. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't have given you that answer. But I look back now on it, and we were fighting a war because we loved what this country stood for. We love the freedoms that we enjoy, and we wanted to defend with our very lives the rights and the privileges and the lives of our loved ones. Love. Now, the Bible tells us to love one another, for love is of God. So in conclusion, let's remember the message that's in these verses. Might want to mark them. Number one, watch thou in all things. Number two, stand fast in the faith. Number three, quit ye like men. That means grow up, mature. Or as Peter would say, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then be strong and of good courage. And then Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Let's stand together, please. Our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the lesson that's in these two verses of Scripture. And we pray that we may take the principles of this lesson and apply them to our individual lives. For in so doing, we will become more like Jesus. We will mature in the faith. And we will place ourselves in such a position that you can bless us, as you've already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. You will make our lives profitable for Him. We thank you for these words. May the admonition rest in our hearts and abide with us. We ask now, Father, for your blessings upon each one that's here tonight as we come to the conclusion of what's been a wonderful day in the Lord. What a blessing it's been today to have fellowshiped together around the Word of God, the sermons that we've heard, the lessons that we've learned today. And we thank you for the food and the ones that prepared it and all of the labor of love that went into the provision of these things. And bless us tonight as we partake of this food again. And we remember those who have birthdays and anniversaries that we're also celebrating. We thank you for them and give you glory. Let your blessings now rest upon each person that's here, each home that's represented. And as we depart this place, go with us to our homes and watch over us during this coming week. Help us to bring honor and glory to your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. May the Lord bless you.